Let's read it together. Matthew 7:7-11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if the son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Amen. Please be seated. Well, I am continuing from last Sunday, actually, from this passage of Scripture. It's the same passage of Scripture I preached on last Sunday. You're saying, well, what are you doing, preaching the same sermon over again? Well, no, I'm not. I'm just going to share a little bit of a different angle of this passage of Scripture. I just trust that God will speak to our hearts today, because I believe he has some great truths for us to take to our own edification, our own encouragement, and also that we would be able to share it with others as well. I've entitled my message this morning, Why Luck Has Nothing to Do with It. Why Luck Has Nothing to Do with It. Now, you may have heard me say in the past that I do not believe in luck. Luck is a word that many of us use, and we kind of use it off the cuff, and we kind of, you know, sometimes we use it lightly, and we wish people good luck at this, or, you know, in their travels, or in their endeavors, whatever it might be, and we just say, good luck. Well, I want to kind of help us think a little bit about that this morning, because, you know, as I was thinking of this great tragedy last Sunday that happened in Sutherland Springs, Texas, some people I heard this week call it luck when two guys seem to be in the right place at the right time, begin to chase this assailant, and they chased him down the road in their pickup, and one was firing their gun at him, and apparently he did get hit, and he died on the scene where his vehicle crashed. But I heard people referring to it as being good luck that this gentlemen, that these two guys were in the right, they seemed to be in the right place at the right time to bring this guy down. Otherwise, there could have been other people shot and murdered as well. Well, regardless of how you may think about it, I would probably refer to that as being providence. The providence of God so determined that these two people were in the right place at the right time. Regardless of how you refer to it, you know, I really don't believe in luck. I believe that everything we receive is from the hand of God. That everything that happens, happens for a reason. That everything that takes place because God has a purpose in mind in speaking to us, in addressing us, in sharing with us, and helping us, maybe through difficult times, maybe through times that we haven't even seen yet. But everything under the sun has a purpose. Everything under the sun has a reason behind it. And I don't believe in fate or fortune or anything like it. People who believe in these things use them as an excuse to approach life, I believe, passively. And that's not the approach that Jesus wants us to take. As followers of Christ, as disciples of Jesus Christ, I believe that he has a better plan in mind than the term luck. In Matthew chapter 7, we already studied this last week, but I want to go to it again today. Jesus tells us how he wants us to approach life. I did mention last Sunday that it's our perspective sometimes that gets a little bit thwarted and thrown out of kilter. And it's our perspective sometimes that gets a little bit damaged by the ways and whims of this life that we're in. But here, Jesus has a message for us. And he is very clear and very blunt and very forceful in how he presents it. And again, he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. I want us to dig in a little more this morning on what that particular passage means and how it relates to each of us in our own lives. These three verbs, they're verbs, ask, seek, and knock, were written with what we call the present imperative mood. It describes continuous action, something that's ongoing, it's continuous. In other words, ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. Jesus is telling us that the key to answered prayer is really to pursue it consistently, persistently, and aggressively. Now, I know those are words sometimes that may cause us to be a little bit uncomfortable. But this is a good kind of being uncomfortable. You see, waiting around for better luck or offering up a couple of half-hearted prayers will not create lasting change in our lives. God's interested in the long run. He's interested in the big picture. He's interested in lasting change. He's interested that we have an intimate, personal relationship with him. Not something that's kind of pie in the sky. Not something where we offer a wish list, almost like the Christmas wish list. Remember the times when we got the old Sears catalog and it was the Christmas wish catalog? We used to look through those catalogs and we wanted everything in the catalog. We'd tell our mom that and dad that these were all the things we wanted. So it was a wish catalog. And sometimes our prayers are like that. We have a wish list. And we offer them to God and say, Lord, I'll come back to you in a bit, but here's my wish list right now. And I'd like to be able to cross each of these out over time. And I'd like to be able to just say, I've been taken care of and that wish has been fulfilled. Well, sometimes that's how we approach our prayer lives. Sometimes that's how we approach being intimate with God. You see, in these verses, Jesus tells us how to present our prayers to God. And I think this is something we could all use a little bit of fine-tuning in. This is something we could all use a little bit of encouraging in. I know I can. How we're to approach our goals, how do we approach our dreams, our ambitions, and everything else that we do, because I believe that God wants us to live and have the abundant life. He doesn't want us to have second best. He wants us to have the very best. He wants us to live and experience each and every day through our entire lives what he calls the abundant life. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, this is what I've come to do. I've come to give you life and that you might have it abundantly, or to the fullest, if you will. And so he mentions three things, and they're given right here. They're very obvious in the scripture. Number one, we're to ask consistently. What does that mean? To ask God consistently. Sometimes we ask, but it's not consistent. Sometimes we ask, and we don't ask with the right motives in mind. Sometimes we ask, and we're very selfish in our asking. Sometimes we ask and we realize that, our prayers are really not hitting the ceiling because we have clutter in our lives that's keeping us from having that personal, intimate relationship that Jesus wants us to have. So ask and it will be given to you. Now, how many of us really believe that? I guess sometimes I question it. Sometimes I've asked God for certain things in my life, and He has not come true with them. He has not come my way with them. I'm wondering, Lord, have you forgotten me? Have you given up on me? What is it? Why, Lord? I keep asking, why aren't you answering my prayers? Well, this is what I mean. And this is what I think Jesus is talking about when he says, ask and it will be given to you. He's saying this. He says, make sure your actions are consistent with what you're asking for. In other words, I think what Jesus is telling us here is this. Don't ask for one thing and do another. You've got to be consistent. I remember when I was a camp counselor or a camp chief up at Baptist Park in Mapleton, Maine, way back a few years ago, there was a young counselor that was trying to help out and to just kind of encourage a little bit in being a better counselor at camp. And she was there, and she, a lot of kids, a lot of teenagers especially, come to camp to find a good boyfriend. Right? Let's be honest. That's why they come to camp. And a lot of Christian camps, that's where matches are made in heaven. That's where young people, a lot of great young people, find their life mate. I have no problem with that. What a great place to meet your spouse, your future spouse, at a Christian camp. Anyway, there was this young lady that came, and she was. She told me, she said she's dating this guy that she met in a bar. Well, I told her, I said, I'm going to go out on a limb a little bit here and say that you probably won't meet many men of God in a bar room or a beer joint. Maybe at the grocery store. Maybe at the standing in line, to get your vehicle registered or something like that. Maybe even in a waiting room at a doctor's office. But in a bar room, it just doesn't seem to connect. I had to ask her, what are you really looking for? What are you really asking for? Are you really looking for Mr. Right? Or as the old joke goes, are you looking for Mr. Right Now? Well, I made her very uncomfortable. And she was ready to chew me out. I could hear it coming, and I was anticipating it. But I felt that was necessary for me to share with her. In other words, are your actions consistent with your prayers? And we need to ask ourselves the same question. Are our actions consistent with our prayers? We need to look at our prayer list, our goals, and all the things we want out of life, and ask ourselves, am I acting in a way that's consistent with what I am asking for? You understand what I'm saying? Most importantly, what I'm asking for, is it consistent with God's will and God's purpose in my life? Now, I may not know God's will totally, and I may not know His will wholeheartedly right now, but there's something about a bar room that probably would not be that constructive or that uplifting, maybe to some. And I'm praying, Lord, please keep my kids out of trouble. I'm praying, Lord, keep my kids so that they will know every step of the way that you love them. But I have to live my life in a way that's consistent as well. I have to show the example. You see, my actions indicate what I'm really asking for. Your actions is really the fruit of your living in terms of who you are, in terms of who people see you are. It's, you know, you just can't say one thing and do another. And that's what Jesus was getting at. I see this a lot in churches. Prayer, you know, churches pray, Lord, help us to reach our community. Help us to reach the lost in our community. Oh, Lord, give us a harvest of souls. Help us to reach young families. Help us to reach the lost. But their actions say, as long as it doesn't inconvenience us, as long as it doesn't cost us any money, as long as we don't have to change anything. That's a biggie right there. You know what the seven last words of the church is? We've never done it that way before. Sometimes that can be a real stumbling block. It doesn't work that way. When we pray, we need to ask in a consistent manner. We need to make sure our actions are consistent with our prayers. You can't just go out and say, Lord, help me lose weight, and then go pig out and eat four Big Macs. Doesn't work that way. Has to be consistent. You can't say, Lord, help me lead my friend to Christ, and then fill your conversations with gossip and say things to that person that's right off the wall. You can't say, Lord, bless me financially, and then refuse to give, refuse to be generous. Now, if your actions aren't consistent with what you're asking for, what's the solution? Is it to stop asking? Is that what the answer is? Absolutely not. The solution is to start acting and trusting God in ways that are consistent with what you really desire in your innermost being, what you're really longing for. Think about what's on your prayer list right now. And ask yourself this question: what can I do that is consistent with my prayers and my yearning to God? Let me give you a personal example of how that worked in my life just a few years ago. I was struggling with resentment towards another person. Has anybody experienced that? I'm sure we have. I was having a real problem with this other person, who at the time was a real pain in the neck, let me tell you. And I just didn't see eye to eye with that person. We had been friends for a lot of years, but we had a disagreement. And I suppose you could say we had a falling out. And there was a long period of silence between the two of us. There was months, maybe even a couple of years, we just didn't bother with each other. We used to be on the phone a lot. We used to talk a lot on the phone. We used to communicate. We used to visit back and forth. And that just wasn't happening. And, you know, I was just of the opinion I was right and he was wrong. And that's just the way it was going to be. Anybody ever feel like that? Absolutely. Well, that's the way it always seems, isn't it? But eventually I began to pray. And I knew there was resentment in my heart towards this person. And it began to affect certain things, even my prayer life. And I began to pray, and I asked God, I said, Lord, help me find a way to get rid of that resentment. Help me find a way just to patch things up. And make it like it was in the good old days. Help me figure this out. I don't want this friendship to go down the tubes. So please help me in the restoration of this relationship. And then I ask myself, what action can I take that can be consistent with this prayer? So I was in a bookstore one day, which, you know, a place I like to hang out, and I found a real good book on baseball. And he loves baseball. He's a baseball fanatic. And along with the book, I sent him a note that said, I hope you enjoy this book, and I hope you're doing fine. That's all I wrote in the note. And amazingly, almost miraculously, my resentment began to fade away. He called me up within a week, and he thanked me for the book, and we cleared the air right there on the phone. It was awesome. And everything worked out well. And even today, we're the best of friends. We had to deal with that issue. The resentment just kind of built up within us, and it was destroying us. It was a bitterness there. And the crazy thing was, it was over something really stupid, really ridiculous. Now, isn't that the way most of these disagreements and problems between individuals take place? The majority of them are. And today, we're the best of friends still. Now, that's something that makes my prayers more powerful, I say. When we pray for something, we need to be prepared to take action that are consistent with what we're asking for. And I know from personal experience that this can make a great difference. First thing is to ask. The second thing is to seek persistently. To seek persistently. Seek and you will find, Jesus says. Seek and you will find. One of my sons has this problem with losing things. Anybody have a son like that? Or a child? He'll say, I don't know where I put it. I can't find it. Well, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, because I'm kind of that way too. And about every day I lose my keys. Anybody like that? Anybody identify with that? Sure. Well, he used to have problems losing his shoes. And we'd get ready for church in the morning. This is when he was a kid. And I said, well, why can't you find your shoes? Why do you have to lose them all the time? You would think, since we tend to take off both shoes one at a time, that the second shoe would be found in a fairly good close proximity to where you took the other shoe off, right? Well, not for him, because he would drop one shoe there, and the other shoe you might find behind the refrigerator, or you might find in the between the cushions in the couch, or you might find it who knows where. I never got mad at him for misplacing things. I can't, because I know I was the same way. But I have a rule that you keep looking until you find it. So I remember some mornings when he was a kid that we would be late for Sunday school because we were looking for his shoe. And, you know, the dog would take it sometimes. He blamed the dog every time for taking the shoe. But he just couldn't find. There were certain things he couldn't find. But we decided that we were going to look for it. Anytime this would happen, we were going to seek. We were going to look. We were going to turn everything upside down until we found that shoe or whatever it was he was missing. And I had the same problem with keys, and I had to do that many times. But we can't sit on the couch and do nothing while that shoe needs to be found, or while those keys need to be found. He's beginning to learn a couple of things. One, to put both shoes in the closet when he takes them off. He's an adult now. And the second thing is to be persistent for whatever he's looking for, to just keep on looking until he finds it. Now that's his thing right now. He just keeps looking. And that's what Jesus tells us to do. That if we want something, we keep looking until we find it. We're to seek, and we'll find it. If you want your business to thrive, then we're to look for ways to do a better job. If we want to be a better husband or a better mother, or a better parent, we just keep seeking ways to be better and to try to do it better and to be better. Do we want to experience an overwhelming sense of God's presence in your life? Then we're to seek Him. The Bible says to seek the Lord with all our hearts, with our whole hearts, to seek Him. Now, these things may not happen on the first try. They may not happen right away, or the second try, or the third, but we're to keep seeking. And I think Jesus has something here important for us to know, that we are to keep seeking. We're to not give up. Not give up. Winston Churchill, anybody remember him? Winston Churchill didn't become Prime Minister of England until he was 62 years old. And then only after a life of time and defeats and setbacks, he made his greatest contribution while he was a senior citizen. Yes, sir. He was a senior citizen. Helps the rest of us feel good. And speaking of Churchill, his most memorable speech. Anybody ever remember what his most memorable speech was? He made it to the graduating class of Oxford University. It wasn't a very long speech. He approached the podium and he said this: "Students, never." I'm doing it in my Winston Churchill voice. "Never, never, never give up." And he went and sat down. That was his speech. That was his speech. Never give up. Former President of the United States, Calvin Coolidge, said this: "Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence." This is what Jesus is saying too. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on seeking. So do you feel frustrated that you've been seeking God, you've been seeking God's blessing, you've been seeking maybe some answers to things, and they just don't seem to be coming your way? God says to keep on seeking. And then the final thing is to knock fearlessly. To knock fearlessly. Knock, and the door will be opened. The door will be opened. How many people have gone to a door and nobody's opened it? But you just knock a few times, and eventually, someone comes to the door, opens it up for you. There's a progression of intensity in the words of Jesus in this verse here, when he says, "Knock and the door will be open." You see, asking God for something requires a step of faith. Seeking after it and hopefully finding it requires more faith. Being bold enough to knock at the door of opportunity requires that even greater faith, even greater courage, even greater persistence. Because when you knock on the door, you run the risk of rejection, don't you? You do. This past week, I couldn't be any prouder of my son, Matthew. They're expecting a child just in about 3 weeks' time. And I found out that my son, Matthew, who is the finance manager of Bill Dodge Auto. He sells BMWs, or he's a finance manager for a place that sells BMWs, and he drives around in a Chevy. So figure that one out. He was highlighted this week by the entire company as the number one finance manager in the entire company. And it was all of all the BMW outlets and stores in New England, he got picked as number one. And I was very proud of him this week. When Matthew began his sales career as a car salesman, he went there kicking and screaming. He says, "I'll never be able to do it." It took him 3.5 weeks before he was able to sell his first car. And he was just timid. He did not know how to approach a customer. He was shy in a lot of ways. And finally, something happened. He just kind of broke loose. And he became one of their number one car salesmen in the entire company. He's come a long way in the last 7 years. And his mom and I really got proud of him this week. And we took him out to eat. And he always likes to eat. And so he enjoyed, you know, it was great. We took he and his wife out, who was, you know, who was 8.5 months pregnant and find it very uncomfortable to get around. But it was a blessing. And to just see how my son was able to be persistent. And he kept going for the gold. And he's done it fearlessly. You see, there's so many practical implications here in this passage of Scripture. I've just kind of given you a few examples of my situation and my life, my family, and how we've identified with what Jesus is saying here. Asking, seeking, knocking. Very almost liberating words, if you will. Again, my favorite hockey player, Wayne Gretzky, he said, "You miss 100% of the shots you never take." And how true that is. And what's he saying? He's saying, knock on the door. Knock fearlessly. In other words, he says, create your own opportunities. Go for the gold. Do what God wants you to do. And when we pray for something, we become partners with God. So don't think that God forgets about you. We got to ask in the right way. We got to seek in the right way. We've got to knock fearlessly. Henry Blackstone, one of the great preachers of the Southern Baptists, he said this, that where God is working in your life, join him. See where he's working and join him. So maybe God is working in your life right now, and God's doing some things in you and through you, and he can use things. He can use tragedy even. He can use difficulties. He can use disappointment. He can use failure to set you up for something that's greater. Remember what I said, that a setup is usually, you know, a setback is usually a setup for what God wants to do in your life. God's way is to ask, seek, and knock, but the bush, you know, beat the bushes, work hard, make your own breaks, create your own opportunities. Put some elbow grease into it. We just can't stand by and just expect everything to be delivered by the UPS guy. It just doesn't work that way. We have to work and strive in faith. You see, people ask, but what if God doesn't want this for me? What if he wants something else? Well, he may and he may not. My experience has been that God will show you. God will reveal it to you, what his will is. Understanding the will of God in your life is probably one of the things that we wrestle with more than anything else in our Christian walk. It's not easy. But asking, seeking, and knocking, and following the principles that Jesus has for us here is really amazing. When it comes to what we accomplish in life and what we receive in life, luck has nothing to do with it. It really doesn't. At least not for followers of Jesus Christ. We're called to pursue our goals. We're called to pursue our dreams, to chase after them, and our ambitions with intensity. And when you know something is God's will for your life, go after it with everything you've got. And when you go after it, God says, I will be paying attention to you. And you will find satisfaction in that. If there's something you want to ask God for, then ask. But ask consistently. Make sure your actions are consistent with your prayers. Seek persistently. God answers, and keep seeking till you find it. And knock fearlessly, even in the face of rejection, even in the face of defeat. God will help you across the finish line. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word, reminding us again of how important it is to ask, to seek, to knock, to intentionally chase after you, Lord, with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our ambition, and to give you the glory in all things. And so, Lord, this is our prayer today. Because our faith has found its only resting place in Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. We're going to close.